Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise God that God is still on His throne and He still answers prayer. Praise God. On yesterday's broadcast, began looking at some of the attacks that we can experience as God's people, drawing an example from the life of Nehemiah. He had a vision from God. He had a purpose. He had a mission. God's blessing, God's favor was upon him. He was cupbearer to a heathen king, and the heathen king not only granted his request to return to Jerusalem, but gave him timber and provision supplies that were needed to accomplish this task. However, once he got there, and have you ever been able to relate to this, even though he was expressly in the middle and center of God's will, the enemy rose up and all sorts of opposition and attacks began to occur. Look at the life of Paul. He was definitely walking according to the will and purpose of God, and yet as we read the New Testament, his epistles, he shares just some of the things that he went through. And so, beloved, as James tells us, we should not be surprised when trials and troubles and temptations and all manner of opposition happens in our life. You know, I think we do a disservice to the cause of Christ in our desire and zeal to see people saved. Praise God, that's a wonderful motivation. And yet I think we do them a disservice by just emphasizing the joy and the peace and the trust and the wonderful things, the blessings that are a part of God's kingdom, because we need to understand that God has given us a way out. He's given us salvation from the wrath to come. We don't hear a lot of preaching today about hell, but it is very real. And we need to present there is a consequence to turning aside that great salvation. And many times, if that balance isn't brought in, a new Christian can expect nothing but joy and blessings, and they get very discouraged and sometimes even fall away when the battles start coming. That's a reality of Christian life. And so here Nehemiah was absolutely in the center of God's will. And let me read just a few verses from chapter 4. It says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Basically, there was an all-out war. There was conspiracy, and the enemies surrounding them were going to come and fight against Jerusalem. But note verse 10, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said," verse 11, "they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places, when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Now, let's take a look at what's just happening in these verses. First of all, there was weariness and discouragement. There was a lot of rubble. And sometimes, you know, before we look at a task, we think, oh my goodness, there's just so much work to do. Have you ever done that? You've got a lot of things and you just don't have the strength even to start because it's such a huge task in front of you. Well, beloved, the task ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you. And so there is weariness and discouragement. We see that, and we certainly can relate to that in our own life. And there was yet another problem, and as I read verses 11 through 12, we see that the very own Jews that surrounded the city, they came up to the city 10 times, and they were begging their men to return to their homes before the enemy came to destroy them. And what we see here is a picture of obviously there's fear of the enemy, as well as a selfishness to have their menfolk with them. They didn't grasp and lay hold of the bigger picture, the spiritual concerns, the importance of what was going on. Why was Nehemiah there? Why were they there in the first place? And beloved, we see that that greater than their fear and their selfishness was a lack of vision and their own unbelief, and that it was even greater than their selfishness. And sometimes this can be the greatest battle. So what did Nehemiah do? He overcame the discouragement of friends by steadfast courage. Let me read verses 13 through 14. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So he overcame the discouragement by steadfast courage. And then we see in the following verses that it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every man unto his work. And it says that from that time forth, half the servants wrought in the work, the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. And so they wrought the work with the implements of rebuilding the wall. On the other hand, they held a weapon. Verse 18 says, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall one from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saying that everyone put them off for washing. And so what do we see here? The workmen never went home. They worked from the rising of the sun until the stars appeared. Talk about commitment. Then they slept on the spot against a night attack by the enemy. And so the open declared word of the enemy said, we will stop it. And the depressed workers said, oh, we can't do this. The half-hearted said, success is impossible. And against all that opposition, Nehemiah pressed his cause and that of the Lord and encouraged his workers. To half of them he gave trowels, to the other half spears and shields and bows, and to all of them swords. What does that speak to us? Well, the sword of the Spirit. And then they set watchmen at intervals, equipped with trumpets for alarm, and they worked with prayer and determination so that the walls were built. And then, so what are we doing? We're looking at the opposition of the enemy from within. We see weariness, we see discouragement, but also there was selfishness and self-centeredness. And to understand that, we have to look at the fifth chapter. And it says, there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews, for there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many, therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is that of the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." And when, of course, Nehemiah heard that, it says in verse 6, he was very angry at these words, and he consulted with himself. He said, he rebuked the nobles, the rulers, and said unto them, "Ye exact usury, every one of his brother." And I said, "A great assembly against them." And I said unto them, "We after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us?" Then they held their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, "It is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury." And so what we see, they, in their selfish greed and self-centeredness and lack of vision, Nehemiah overcame that by rebuke and by self-sacrificing example and prayer. Nehemiah takes measures to relieve the economic distress. Many of the people were forced because of poverty to mortgage their property and sell their children into slavery. And so Nehemiah persuades those who were lending money and grain to follow his example and charge no interest and restore the land. And so, unlike former governors, Nehemiah not only took no allowance for himself and his associates, but in fact, he provided food, a large amount daily, for the men out of his own resources. And here we see, through unity and through a spirit of one accord, the enemy was defeated. Beloved, there's so much we can learn from the example of Nehemiah in this book, but my time is just flown away, and so I just want to encourage you to do that which God has placed on your heart. Don't be discouraged. And just as Nehemiah overcame with vision and with prayer, so you too can have victory in your personal life. Praise God. Well, God bless you, beloved. Thank you for joining me today. On next broadcast, we'll see what the Lord has for us. If you need prayer, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, I love you. And until then, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.